Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable for February, officially the February Roundtable this time around, and we're now caught up, hopefully. This month we have myself, Tommy, and of course Jamie. How you doing, Jamie?
What's up, sir? Glad to be here.
We also have our boy Spider. What's up, Spider?
Howdy.
And then we have Duff, all the way from Hawaii. How you doing, Duff?
Aloha.
And then Cabbage. How you doing, Cabbage?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm good. So the topic for this month's roundtable is how games have changed in our lifetimes. And so right before we hit record, I was saying we're all old at this point, and we all started playing games when we were young. And so I think we've all seen quite the evolution of gaming in our lifetimes. And so really it's anything under that topic, which is pretty broad, but things like difficulty, which I think is something that comes up often in these kind of conversations, things like how narratives have changed, character development, and all that kind of stuff, the money that goes into developing games at this point. There's a lot of different ways we can go with it, so whatever direction anybody wants to take us, please do. But I'll start, and I'll kind of just lay this out for anybody who wants to jump in. I always find the difficulty question interesting, how, like, myself, the first real console like I remember playing on a lot was the NES. I had an Atari, but I was pretty young when I had an Atari. The NES especially, I was maybe 5 or 6, 7 years old, and that's where I learned how to play video games, with stuff like Contra, which comes up often in these difficult things. But a lot of games that if you died, you had to start over, and that sucked, honestly. I'll start with Spider. Let me ask you, Spider, on that. What's your thoughts on the challenges of gaming when you were young towards the challenges that video games provide now?
Well, there's a Venn diagram somewhere where it shows the amount of time you have versus the amount of money you have, and you start sliding from the time side to the money side, hopefully, as the goal as you get older. But
the word is hopefully. Like, I'm not sure if I'm there yet. Like, I don't have enough money. But yeah.
So that's the hope anyway.
Yeah. That's fair.
But I had an Atari as my first, you know, gaming experience, and then we actually had an Atari computer as well, and so I spent a lot of time in that. We actually never got a NES. We ended up skipping that somehow. I did have friends that had it, so I played some games on their consoles, and later I got to play stuff when I got older, but obviously the tech has changed a lot. It's become more complicated as far as the tech goes. I mean, because you can pull out a NES now, blow in the cartridge, stick it in the slot, and you know most of them will start right up now. And with our disc-based systems and all the other parts we've got going in our modern systems, a lot of things are gonna fail. It seems like a lot easier over time.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. I hadn't considered, but yeah, in a lot of ways, those older consoles were a whole lot more reliable. If you have an Atari sitting around, you can probably still get it to fire up. In unpacking after we moved, found like my PlayStation 2 that I've had for 15 years now or something. And I just was like, there's probably very little chance that thing still works.
And I fixed a lot of those.
Yeah.
That's probably, you're probably right about that. The odds of it still working are probably pretty slim. I remember when my PlayStation 3 died, like, it worked great until it didn't, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching TV and it just went. Like, I was watching Amazon Prime and it just, see ya. And I still have it because I have this dream of you taking it or us taking it apart on the weekend and documenting it and putting it up on the website, which we still haven't done, but that's why I still have it.
That's that whole time and money Venn diagram thing again. And yeah. Time is hard to come by as you get older, which maybe is one of the ways that the gaming is getting a lot more difficult. I just think of all the games that I could play that I won't ever play, that I desperately want to, but I just simply don't have time for them. So that being said, Cabbage, I would love to hear your thoughts, just kind of what that looked like from when you were younger to you playing games today.
Sure. And I was going to say, I'm actually glad you're starting with the idea of difficulty in games, because one of the things that I find interesting is games have definitely changed a lot in terms of the bigger that they've gotten, the more mainstream they are. Sure, most games that come out, your big AAA games, are going to be easier. They're going to hold the player's hand a little bit more when you're getting into it. That definitely exists. Whereas in the old days, it was like, hey, most games on, for instance, the NES, or in my case, the first console was SNES. Most of those games did not care about the character understanding most of the controls. You might have had a manual or something that would tell you something, but for the most part, you just had to play and figure it out. And the really well-designed games were designed in a way to where you just kind of naturally found those controls and learned the game, even through failing. And so that has changed, but I will say a really cool thing that you find now is that the fundamentals of what people really get drawn to and get into with, like, game mechanics and controls have not changed. In fact, they've broadened. And you see games like the Dark Souls series has inspired other developers to really make games that use sort of the language of the game play to teach you, as opposed to, hey, here's how you do everything, here's a tutorial, here's a set of easy stuff that is just there for you to smack so you understand, you know, that kind of thing isn't always there in those kind of games now. And a lot of games now are based on, even big releases recently, are based on control systems that are really challenging, and you really have to heighten your skill with it over time, usually through failure. So it's interesting to sort of see the dichotomy between stuff that has kept that old idea of really difficult controls and gameplay that you kind of have to teach yourself, as opposed to the really mainstream stuff that holds your hand. But I actually kind of like the fact that both are existing really well and both are successful.
So when I was, you kind of pishawed manuals there, but when I was growing up, the manual was a big deal. Like,
no, I know, they were cool.
like that was always kind of bothered me a little bit when I went to the video store and rented a game and there was no manual in it, and I'm like, okay.
Or when you bought the used game and the jerk that took it into wherever didn't have the manual. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah. By tradition, when I rented games when I was young, like, my mom would drive me to the video store, and on the drive from the video store to the house is when I'd read the manual. So by the time I got home, you know, I'd be ready to go. And then I'd go rent like a crazy RPG that had like a super thick manual that had the backstory of all the characters in it or whatever. Duff, let me bring you into this and just same question for you. When you were young, what that looked like versus kind of your gaming experience now?
So, yeah, I'll run with what Cabbage said. I agree. In my youth, everything was text-based. The graphics weren't so good. If you wanted to do anything multiplayer, literally you'd have to, like, text something through a mud online, like, dial-up connection, and then wait for a day for a response. As gaming kind of progressed through my childhood, then, you ended up with challenging, like, I did a lot of RPG stuff, and it was super challenging because, again, all you had to run with was what came in the box, you know, or maybe if it was a AAA title, you'd have one of those extra game manuals that you could buy that had all the pictures and maps, and, you know, had to pay an extra $20-$30 for that. But that was it. You couldn't go online. You couldn't do
that. That's called a guide, dude. That's an old school guide is what that was.
Yeah. The old school guides. And I still have some of those from in a box up in my basement, up in my attic. But in any case, going with what Cabbage said, I think that along with technology and as things have progressed, the controls are, in my opinion, just as complicated, if not more complicated. Right now I'm trying to figure out and set up a flight stick for Star Citizen. And there's really, I think it's still an alpha or not even an alpha yet. It's not still in beta. But in any case, there's not even a manual on what buttons to push, how to set it up, how to make it work. And it's incredibly complicated. Same thing for, hand controllers in VR, those are changing. And even games on the console or keyboard, every new game that comes out, you got to relearn how to use the controls. But, and you can make it as hard as you want. They have the ability to change it from easy mode to hard mode if you really want to play in hard mode. But if you want to make it, if you don't want to be frustrated like when I was young and I couldn't figure out how to do anything and I got stuck and couldn't progress the game, you always have those options available to you now by just going into the internet. And, you can usually find a forum or a Reddit or something where, you have help to try to figure out how to set up your controller or how to get through a hard area or whatever, which I think is great and makes games more enjoyable for me because, if I need help, I can get it.
And I think we talk about it a lot, but difficulty is a big deal. I like that games are difficult, but I have also gotten spoiled because I've been limping my way through Max Payne 3, and Max Payne 3 has one crucial flaw. Anybody want to guess what it is? And I guess that's a no.
I just want to say I've only played maybe an hour or something of the game, so I probably am not familiar with enough of it to guess.
Well, okay, so here's the deal with Max. I played all three of the Max games. I love Max. It's great. But in the first two Max games, you could play most of the game with your mouse because whenever you went into bullet time, if I moved the mouse a direction, he would just go flying that way. And it made it real easy for me because I didn't have to do a lot with the keyboard. They took that out of Max 3, but the fatal flaw with Max Payne 3 is Rockstar went all checkpoints, okay? And so I'll get through an area, and I'll think, man, I really need a hard save here because I'm down to, no painkillers, and I don't know that I'm going to get through the next area, and there's literally no way to hard save in Max Payne 3. You can't start a save file. You can't quick save, which as a handicapped gamer, I kind of need, because if I get through an area, I need to be able to hit that save button and go, okay, I'm good. I have literally been limping through Max Payne 3 getting help from people. I have people over my house, and they're like, I'm like, hey, I'm doing this. Can you, give me a little help? Because I'm stuck. So a lot of it has to do with design. I love difficulty. I love when things are hard. But there comes a point, like Duff was talking about, sometimes because of your limited time, you just need to be able to move on, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll piggyback on that. And just as somebody who does a lot in life and doesn't have nearly as much time for gaming as I'd like, I need games where I can progress through them without repeating the same thing over and over and over, which when I was a kid, that was fine. Was actually kind of fun. There was something to that I enjoyed, but yeah, at this point, if you're going to make me play a section over and over in a game, I'm not going to play your game very long. And it's not like that seems like such a weenie thing to say, but I just got to move on. If I'm going to get enjoyment out of your game, I've got to keep it moving. And if you can't keep it moving for me, sorry, I'm going to play something else. So,
I was just going to say, I struggled with the last battle in chapter 2 of Max Payne 3 for a day and a half, and it's the end of the chapter, and so it's going to be hard, and all I needed was a quick save. That was it. and it would have solved the whole thing.
Yeah.
Jamie, all you had to do is just reach up and open the door of the car in VR, but you just about missed dinner because of it.
Yeah,
I'm sad that this wasn't recorded in some way.
I told you, man. He kept saying, we gotta get this recorded. I'm going, how? We need like 3 cameras. We need like video capture. We need all of that. And like, I could have done game capture, but it wouldn't have made any sense at all. Because he was talking about, you know, me trying to do this, but like I said, there were literally points where I'm trying to reach something and at the same time trying not to fall out of my chair. Because
that's a true difficulty problem nowadays.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, one the rest of us don't deal with, so God bless you, man.
You didn't have to worry about that, you know, when you were young, probably.
No.
Falling out of your game.
No.
So let me ask something that came up that I thought is interesting. I hadn't really planned on, but one of the big things, being an RPG player, and several of us on here enjoy RPGs, I know, and so when we were young, RPGs were all text-based. You had to read a lot, and so even, you know, thinking back to playing through Final Fantasy titles or something like that, and now everything's voiced, and at this point pretty well voiced. There was obviously a pretty good period of time where game voice acting was miserably bad, and it took a while to get to a point where there was the resources put into that like there is for big movies and that kind of thing. But we're at a point where voice acting is pretty solid in most games. So let me just kind of open into question here. Thoughts on that and how that's kind of changed the gameplay experience, both for good and bad, and anybody miss the old days of having to read through a game?
I think you can still find those experiences if you want. I mean, obviously Zelda is one example of that that hasn't changed. Link still doesn't have a voice, but there's also, you know, smaller indie developers out there making games. The one that I played through recently that comes to mind is Undertale, where you still have text and you're still reading through it. So you can still find those experiences if you want to.
Yeah, that's very true. Is it something that's nostalgic for you now? Like, do you seek those out just to regain that experience?
Not specifically. I just figure if it's in the game, then, you know, that's the way that's they fair. Designed it to be.
I still enjoy that experience, and I just finished Pillars of Eternity, which was an awesome RPG, and it's still all text-based. You have to read through everything, and I know they've got a new kind of expansion of that Tyranny, which it kind of continues that. So it's out there. I definitely, you know that you can find those kind of experiences.
Yeah, that's fair. Anybody else always play with subtitles on? I know we had this conversation recently.
Yeah. I do that with games, but I don't do that with movies. But for some reason with games, I really – here's why. This is going to go into what I was going to say about your question. Even games like The Witcher, which I think almost every voice actor in that game is really good. Geralt is not good, but I think that's on purpose. Like, I think they want him to have this weird sort of – I don't know. What would you call it? Well, like a gravelly sort of, he's very monotone. He doesn't
Batman
have a lot of range.
Kind of
yeah,
that's
he's
exactly Christian
so,
Bale,
but that's
Batman
fine.
Voice.
But I will say that the nice thing about doing subtitles in a game like that is that I can just skim through it. I can get what I need and hit A and continue through. And that was a nice part of older RPGs like Final Fantasy that would have a lot of dialogue sections with text that you'd go into. There's a couple benefits there. The other benefit is that you don't have to worry about bad voice actors because in your head you can just create what you want the characters to sound like and it's fine. Yeah. And so a lot of the ways that you'd end up liking or disliking a character in those old games was based on the character you created in your head. So you're almost reading a novel. Whereas today, if the voice acting's bad, if the pacing of the cutscene's bad, if you can't skip it, all kinds of things, that could ruin the story. So you have to nail that stuff. I think certain games have done it. Of course, The Witcher is a prime example of doing it pretty well. But even then, they do give you the option of skipping through stuff so that you can just get what you need and not have to sit through a 5-minute section. Maybe it's only 2 minutes for you. So,
well, Tommy was talking about us being old, and my thing about things being in text is that I have the original Dragon Age on my new computer. I had it on the old computer. And I actually tried to find a mod to increase the text size so I could run it at higher resolution, because I'm looking at text now going, man, I can't see. I don't know if any of the rest of you guys run into that, but I'm like, man, I gotta put my glasses on, I gotta get some help, I gotta do something because I can't see.
I remember that first Dragon Age for the PC. They had scaling issues with stuff. I think the stuff's gotten better now, but that is sometimes an issue on PC where stuff is like you can't read it because of how they scaled it for the resolution or something. So sometimes mods will help that.
Yeah. Did anybody else, when you were young and played with like your buddies, like everybody took character? I remember playing through Final Fantasy VII, doing this with a couple of good friends, that we all like took characters and we all like read them aloud in ridiculous voices, like we did our own voice acting for it. Is that just me being super nerdy?
Final Fantasy VII, I had no friends.
So I could only play it with my own voice.
So sorry.
You know what? I don't know. I don't know.
Scars. Hey. I'll bring up the old scars.
I think they have a support group for that. That you can go.
Hey, Kevin, don't feel bad, man. I'm not sure I had any friends before this roundtable started, other than Tommy.
I hope your students aren't listening to this podcast. That could really backfire,
right? Yeah, I wear my super nerdiness on my sleeve.
Actually, it's kind of funny. I don't know if any of them actually heard the show, but I know he occasionally brings it up, and I think that their response is normally, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They're, like, too young for podcasts, you know? Like, podcast is like an old person thing now, which makes me feel so terrible. Anyway, let's talk more about how we're terribly old. what other ways? I'm just curious from you guys. Have you seen games change for better or for worse as things have kind of stuck with you? And anybody, feel free to jump in on that.
I'll definitely jump in. Just a quick idea, just a few things right off the top of my head that I really like about how things have changed. I think in general, gaming has just exponentially improved, and I'm just so stoked about that, and super stoked about, as you know, about VR over the last year. That was a dream come true for me. I think Steam is just amazing. It's allowed me to have a huge game library. I don't have to worry about putting things away. I have to worry about like saving stuff. I can go to another computer and play it. I can play it on the go. It has all my save files. Along with that, I think gaming has become so much more fun with the portability of it, you know, now that we have all these mobile apps, mobile devices, and all this stuff. And of course, the Switch coming up, which is just the ultimate example of that. And then along with that whole connectivity thing, being able to play co-op with someone in Texas who is awesome and I can just enjoy gaming with, you know, versus, and being able to talk to them versus like in the old days of say like EQ1 or in the early MMOs, where, you know, you literally had to type everything frantically in the middle of a raid or something, and you had to read a scrolling list of 10,000 texts as you're gaming through a, you know, 20 or 30 person raid, that kind of thing. The ability to do voice chat and all of that has just made things great. And then lastly, along those lines, is just sort of like the ability to go onto Steam and just find these awesome games that you would never be able to find in the old days, all these indie games that are crowdfunded. and get into those games from the ground up is just amazing. So anyway, those are the things that come to my head right off the top as far as things that are awesome.
By the way,
this
show brought to you by Colonel Buff.
That's right. Yeah, anyway. We're definitely much more informed now as a gaming. I mean, you know, you mentioned crowdfunding and, you know, things like Kickstarter, where you can go look up what the concept of this game is, or you can actually, you know, there's so much games coverage now. You know, back in the day, you got Nintendo Power and, you know, maybe one or two other magazines, and all the news came from there. But, you know, there's a whole swath of places now where you can grab all your information.
Yeah, that's fair. And hopefully a few people still listening to us as one of those outlets, but it's
the other side of that is, just real quick. You had, like, I got Nintendo Power and I got, like, EGM was the other one that I got. And you can find all kinds of coverage everywhere. But now the question is these days, is where can you find good coverage that you actually enjoy? Like, you know, I know we deal with some, we try to look at everything at E3, and we're trying to get through all the games that we can. And some of the guys that are working it are like, okay, like, how'd that guy get that job? And so There's a lot of places to go, but now, as opposed to the old days, where you had those two places and that's all you could go, now you gotta find a source that you like, that fits what you want to do and fits kind of how you feel.
Well, yeah, that might be an interesting thing with this year's E3, the specific thing you're talking about of, hey, these people for the longest time are only allowed in to cover it. Now that anybody can go buy a ticket, you might see a lot of people putting up their coverage of something on Reddit or something that you just, oh, this guy, I like the way he presented it more. And that's the, so information has changed with how you can learn stuff about a game. It used to be a lot harder, used to be a lot rarer you'd hear anything. It was a lot more rumors, whereas now you can just go online and really confirm or whatever, something really quick.
And I think part of having limited numbers of sources made you more excited about those sources. You know, like the fact that Nintendo Power was like the way I learned about everything Nintendo when I was young made me adore Nintendo Power in a way that I don't adore any news outlet at this point, maybe also because I was young then. But really, that just limiting of available information made me really value that as a source, regardless really of the quality of it. As I remember it, it was great. If I were to find old Nintendo Powers at this point and look back through them, I probably wouldn't be nearly as impressed with them as I was when I was 13 years old or whatever it was. I think part of it's just limited resources makes you appreciate it, which is definitely not a problem in games and coverage and anything at this point. You can go find a free game right now on whatever device you have if you want to play something. Our problem is much more being over inundated with content and games.
Just real quick on that. Do you guys remember, I don't know if it happened to you guys, but do you guys remember when the PS1 came out and like the hubbub around that, and, you know, it's a disc-based system, and they got these unbelievable graphics. I remember going to the mall and trying to, like, find demo state where I could just see it. Like, I know it's out there. I've heard about it. And it was just so cool. That's how I felt about everything growing up. Now it's like, if you want to know something, I mean, the Switch is not a great example, because we still don't really know everything there is to know about that system and how it works. They're like, they held it out for a long time. We had to wait to get the information about the Switch. That was old school Nintendo right there. Everybody complained about it, but that's the way it used to be all the time. So I just remember that growing up. That was a huge deal.
Oh, yeah. I have so much nostalgia about doing that, going and spending hours in the mall or whatever, trying to go to a game store and just get a peek at the newest stuff and or what are the old arcades, man. I spent so much time hanging out with my buddies in the arcades, just trying to literally wait an hour or 2 hours for my friend who is really good at X whatever game you pick the name, just so you can make it to that level so I could see that boss. That was so much fun.
Yeah, arcades are another one of those things that do arcades like still exist? Do like people still go do that?
I think they do in some places, but
we have a nickelcade here where, you know, you pay $5 to get in and then all the arcade machines are a nickel, with the exception of some of the like really high end ones are a little more expensive, but
yeah, there's a trend here, and I haven't gone to one yet, that are like barcades where like you go in and pay like a cover price and you can drink and play arcade games like all night. Like it's arcades for adults.
There like, is a place
that sounds
here,
super cool. I just haven't gone and checked it out. But like the way that we played and like went to an arcade when we were young, like I avoid malls like the plague. And so maybe they exist and I just don't know it. But I don't feel like that's a thing anymore. I would understand why. Every kid has a cell phone that has every game you want on it, you know. So it's not a huge need for arcades like there used to be, but that's something that's really cool from our childhoods, I think, at least for me. That was like I loved arcades when I was young. Yeah. Like I'd go spend, you know,
so much time.
Whatever.
So much money like dropped.
Yeah. Just ridiculous. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Here in Hawaii, Dave and Buster's is still a big thing. I don't know if it is there. Yeah.
I've not, again, ever been to one, but I know where there's one at. Those are things that I should do. They sound really fun, but I am way too antisocial to want to go to places where people are. So, you know.
Yeah, I understand that.
Man, we're like, Kevin, whoever said that was totally right. I don't know if anybody's listening to this because we all feel the same way. It's like, screw people. I don't care.
Man, that's why. That's why I always like big RPGs. Sometimes you just sit there and sink 60 hours over the life of playing it, and it's a single player experience, and you can play it the way you want, and people don't have to call you. Yeah, well, we won't get into that. You know how people on online games can be. So,
yeah, 100%. I agree with JB. I know it's the same way. We are single player gamers through and through. And so, yeah, the less I have to interact with other human beings, the better, generally in life.
And,
so,
and I wish Chad was here because he's the exact polar opposite.
Yeah,
he's the guy that gets online and he's playing with three or four of his buddies, and it's just a blast. And I'm like, now I've been playing with Duff. That's all right. And
that's been fun.
Since we got everybody here that's on Patreon, we want to extend an offer to this is not everybody, but I will post it on the Patreon. We are limping through Borderlands 2. I had never played Borderlands 2 until Duff was like, dude, you gotta install it. And we started last weekend. And Tommy, I'm telling you, you are gonna love this thing. It is four player co-op. We have two slots available. Anybody wants a game with us, let us know. Let us know when you're available. I've got about 2 weeks in April that I'm going to be able to be available just about any time. So let's do some co-op in Borderlands. That'd be a lot of fun.
I like it. After talk about how antisocial
for that. That's a good segue, man.
Hey, it's what I do. I have a degree in broadcasting. It's my thing.
I thought you were going to say you had a degree in segues.
That would be awesome. That would be the best. Well, thank you guys so much. It was fun being anti-social curmudgeons together today. and feeling
it's like my friend says, I want to live in a hermit colony.
It would be.
So it's a colony, but people live, you know, miles apart from each other.
Yeah. No, that sounds like the best thing ever. As long as it has high speed internet, that's the one thing keeping me from being a hermit in the mountains somewhere.
Yeah,
gotta have high speed internet.
That's why it doesn't still live around my house, because
you're right.
Yeah,
that's completely fair. So anyway, thank you guys so much. This is always fun. We say it every month, but it really is the most fun thing we do as part of the show. And also, as we say every month, thank you so much for your support. Everything you guys do, we appreciate it more than we could ever communicate. More than you guys know, it makes our lives even more fun and enjoying this even more. So, sincerely, thank you guys. Everybody else that supports us on Patreon, again, everybody that just supports us by listening to the show and hanging out with us, we love you guys so much. It's a blast doing this, and so we will be back next month with a new topic, which we need a topic. So anybody that's got a good idea for a topic for the roundtable, let us know. gaminguncensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at 509-GAME-210. When we get another show soon, we'll be needing segments and that stuff as well. And so any final thoughts before we wrap up from anybody?
We're all old.
Yes.
And we don't like people.
And antisocial.
It's the best.
Now that we know all that, the next question I have is, where's the alcohol?
There you go. Yeah. That's fair as well. Yep. Being old's awesome. I love it. Thank you guys so much. We will talk to y'all on the roundtable next month.
Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.